This is Managing Mayhem,
brought to you by two lawyers and a layman.
Because good intentions are not a legal defense.
Wait, I'm sorry, they're not? Okay, well, let's get going then.
Hi, and welcome to Managing Mayhem, a workplace podcast released every 2 weeks. Each episode, we cover a new topic to help HR managers and employees navigate the daily workforce mayhem. I'm Jeff.
I'm Patty.
And I'm Jack, and I'm not a lawyer, and they're the lawyers, and I'm happy to be back hanging out with you guys.
Yeah. Jack, how's it going? You're in the midst of your run of Little Shop of Horror.
It's going really well, and we're halfway there, and people have been really liking it. I'm really liking doing it, and I really like the cast, and it's really a fun time, honestly.
8 shows a week. How is that scene?
Yeah, how are you holding up?
I've just kind of become, I sleep when I'm not there, I'm steaming when I'm not there, I'm drinking water when I'm not there, and then I'm there.
And then we're so lucky to have you here, so
yeah,
thank
I'm
you.
So glad to be here.
Now, Jack, I know I'm your mother, but and I tell you what an amazing job you did. And Jeff, you get to go in a few weeks, which
excited,
is exciting.
That's right.
I have to say, you know, when the Chicago Tribune says Jack Ball, the name to watch, is that's impressive, Jack.
I paid a lot of money for that review.
Yeah. And
so
it's
glad it's paying off.
It said a name to watch on the Managing Mayhem podcast specifically.
That's right.
It didn't really mention a Little Shop of Horrors, but I'm glad Chicago Tribune's catching on to the pod.
I paid a lot for that little ad, too. They really love the pod.
A full page spread.
Chris Jones is obsessed with you guys.
Anyway, seriously, Jack, the reviews are amazing about your talent, how you steal their heart, the audience, and your comedic timing. And so congratulations. Really proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But get back to the pod.
Now what are we here to do?
All right. So today we're talking about the Wild West of resumes.
Oh, yeah.
So
really chaotic. Even my understanding of them now is wild.
Yeah.
It's what they ought to be.
Yeah. What do you do when you get them? What are the red flags you're looking for? What are the new trends that are just nails on a chalkboard? We're going to walk through all of them.
How do I format this?
Right. Basic formatting.
Truly. Always Googling some template, and they're all different.
Yeah.
You know, we did a training last week with managers, and some of them were saying it is just the onslaught of crazy resumes that are out of control. So we thought we'd look at some of the worst things that we're seeing on resumes that are major red flags or turnoffs. And the first one is kind of what you guys are talking about, you know, with regard to formatting. And that's, you know, first of all, spelling errors and grammar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, if someone is still turning in a resume that's got spelling errors or grammar errors, I don't, like, are they writing it on a typewriter or something? Because pretty much every program, like, auto assists you. I mean, it's so advanced now. Like, it's not just like spell check. It's grammar assist. It's sentence structure. It's wild, right?
Yeah, you have really no excuse for that kind of error.
The prompts are almost so in your face. Like, you really meant to say that?
They're like, can you talk or write?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's a big one. And then the other side of that is the formatting, right? The classic, I got to get everything onto one page. And so all of a sudden, everything is in 5-point font, right?
I think this deserves a little grace because there are so many different ways to format. And I will say I have done 3 tricks that I was taught to format were to change the margin just to make it wider a little so you could fit more.
Yeah.
Which I think can be non-offensive if it's subtle.
It's worse if you make it shorter. You want to make it short so they make it so it looks like a column.
That's more of like a college paper where they say you got to get 8 pages and you're sitting there like, okay, the margins can be narrower.
Yeah, totally.
This is the key on this one. This is a little side note for any college students out there. If you want to get to the page limit, you don't increase the font. You don't mess with the margins. The periods, you make them 13 font or 14 font. You can't
see it.
It doesn't look crazy. That's what you do.
Wait, that's really smart.
That's the pro tip.
It's funny because if you can just do it so subtly, there's like little tiny things. Like I used to do, well, on the resume too, there's a spacing in between letters. Like the the letter spacing of a word. And mm-hmm. so there was a name of a theater company that was particularly long. You could shorten it, so it just seemed a little tighter. But you could also expand it by point, like 2.5.
Right.
And no one will notice, and it will make your essay look very, very long.
But the margins are kind of obvious when you're going through 15 resumes, and all of a sudden one's like, narrow. It's like got no margins. Right? You're like, yeah, it is a, right. It's a little distracting.
That's it's a long limerick.
What I find is really distracting, and anything that's distracting in a resume is something that's going to be tossed. And that is when they use horrible fonts, like, you know, Comic Sans, or you know what I mean? Mm. Something that is old Gothic.
Take us back in time. Take us back.
Sir, did you submit your resume in the Avatar font? Papyrus?
Yes, it took a lot to download that.
You got a problem with Pandora?
So don't do anything distracting like that where we can't read it, you know?
Right. That can turn on you really bad. A style choice that gets in the way of actual being, what's that word where you can read something? I was readability, literacy, but that's not it.
The other thing that we see as a problem is, first of all, amateur graphic, like clip art that they put on it. But the big one with this is photos of the candidate, like glam model shots.
Like the headshot. It's kind of a new trend. And I know in our training, a number of managers said that they've been getting these resumes with these like headshots on them. And they're like, what do I do with this, right?
It is a weird thing. Okay, I'm going to confess something that's not cool.
Okay.
For the first time in my entire life.
Oh, wow.
Everything
Can't
has
wait.
Been very cool up to this point. Okay. I did, when I was applying to restaurants, someone told me to put my picture on it.
Well, and you're an actor. You guys have headshots.
But also, it was weird. Like, I looked back at it, I'm like, why would I submit this with my photo on it at all, ever? And so that's just one of those cringe things you look back. And when I handed that, I was so confident. I was like, that's a great photo, and they're going to really think about me, and they're going to think, wow, that was a great guy. We should have him here because of the picture. And they're probably really just like laughing about that in the back.
They're drawing
bar,
a mustache
this guy has
on
no right. experience. And he has a glam shot that looks like a senior photo.
You know, I think that this is a trend. It's a trend that's a bad trend because with all due respect, Jack, it is unprofessional. If
It seems like what you're asking somebody to really hire you based off your appearance.
Right, shallow. Right. It seems a little shallow. For employers, it's very dangerous because we're trying to get away from stereotyping. We're trying to get away from saying gender bias, name bias, race bias, whatever bias that someone has, which I hope they don't have. But the photo defeats that. So for employers, I would take that photo off and shred it.
It is really weird working in an industry that is like all of our resumes have our eye color, our height, our pictures.
Weight.
Weight. They don't do that anymore. Thank God.
Oh, they don't. Thank God.
But it is. It's not here. Not in the
here.
Real world. We don't do that.
Right. Right. Just in the acting community.
So annoying. It's like terrible.
Hence why I'm not in it. No one is getting my picture except for the DMV once every 4 years. So, all right. So the next area, and now we're going to get into some examples, because the first couple, those are just definitely red flags, things to consider. Also, if you're listening to this and you're brushing yours up, definitely avoid those.
Take a look. Take a look and make sure you didn't put on the ye olde English.
This advice cuts both ways, you know, employees and employers. So the next one, though, is when you get the resume and it's just got a slew of unrelated hobbies just to kind of beef it up because they really don't have the job experience.
Really panicked thing to put on there. We're starting to look desperate.
We found a sample. Jeff, walk us through the sample we found, Dirk. It's Dirk
Groschnick. probably not his real name, but he's applying for a sales manager position.
Okay.
And under his qualifications, he put leadership, that he founded one of the best RuneScape clans in history with over 400 members and 300 billion total XP, which is...
What does that mean? I have no idea what any of that means.
RuneScape is a deep cut.
It's an older game. It's kind of like a classic. I never played it, but, you know, it's a very...
Can't wait to hear what you think it is.
Community, right?
I love that it's not that he's founded one of the best.
Yeah.
It is not the best with no credentials. And then I think that unless he's applying to a RuneScape type job,
right,
it seems a little potentially irrelevant to me.
Well, I like how he also added the dedicated hundreds of hours training in League of Legends. Finally reached platinum tier this November. Your gaming achievements?
Powerful man.
Hundreds of hours.
The next thing he has is spent my summer helping grandpa renovate his porch last year, parentheses, 2019.
At least put in summer construction job.
He is dedicated to his own gaming development and the growth of RuneScape clans around the world.
And he's a family man.
He's a family man.
Well, I mean, you do have to lead with your strengths. And his biggest accomplishment was the RuneScape thing, and the Trader Joe's thing falls second tier to that, and that's okay.
Yeah.
You're going to get this toss. You're not going to be considered. Because unless you're applying for some esports or gaming job, these hobbies... Right. are going to be irrelevant to your professional qualifications. So I would say leave those off your resume.
Yeah.
You do see this a lot. I will say this, and even this person, even Dirk, says it in his objective that he has no office experience yet, but I'm a hard worker and I have what it takes to get the job done.
Well, he has no experience because he's in the basement playing League of Legends.
Because hundreds of hours are going to getting that platinum tier.
I don't know why he wants a job. He has a great life. but here's the thing. I think that it's interesting because obviously this guy has good intentions with his resume, but the wording of it and the actual examples just aren't. I mean, you can work some things around to like change some wording and not lie, but at least make it applicable to the job if you have limited experience.
Right.
Find the connections between those things and rely on that.
I mean, you absolutely see this when people are coming out of high school or, you know, they're in college. They just don't have actual work experience, so they're trying to supplement. So, as Jack said, be aware of it. It's a red flag for sure. Maybe it's just worded poorly, but this is clearly...
Yeah,
not
this is
relevant
also
to anything of being a good sales manager. Right.
No, so your passion may not be as interesting to... literally anyone else.
Right.
And that's just life. No one cares that I really like to dye my own clothes different colors. But I could. And I leave it on my resume.
Good.
And so now you guys know something about me.
That's special, Jack. Okay, so another area is the autobiographers. These are people that give you the 5-page resume that no manager is going to read. They're going to...
No, shouldn't have... I feel like they really shouldn't often go over a page, right?
I think if you get one, if you're not accepting resumes and you get one that's over a page or 2 pages, I would just throw it away.
If there's a staple involved, it's too much.
A staple. You know, the rule of thumb that I looked up was that if you have less than 10 years experience, 1 page. More than 10 years, 2 pages, if you need to.
The reality is you should be, in theory, weeding out all the irrelevant information.
Right.
Gaming achievements.
Right. You know, you don't need that you received all these accolades in high school if you've already gotten your college degree and you have accolades from college, right? You can
level up and kind of slough some stuff off.
Yeah.
Exactly. So here's another. We got a good example from Gert Rug.
Scary name. Gert Rug. Is it short for anything? Guthrie. No.
Maybe Guthrie. All right, but this is using the bad buzzwords, cliches.
This is one thing that really is nails on a chalkboard to me, I have to say. When I see resumes, and I've talked to a lot of managers that it's nails on a chalkboard, they're trying to be almost too cool. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Gert, looking at his resume, developed holistic solutions and... you know, he was a thought leader.
He was working at the Cheesecake Factory. I mean, that's the...
he said, I pioneered cutting-edge sales strategy via introduction of our weekly Tortilla Tuesday special.
Okay, pioneered
is a hot word. I mean, to hire a pioneer, that's
I like that. I like the developed holistic solutions to low sales by targeting underperforming ROI.
We don't even know what that is. Like, I don't know what
return
that is.
On investment.
Is that what it is?
Typically.
He also maximized synergy. If anyone is still using the word synergy in 2023, right. You're not going to have your resume considered.
To me, we're getting into sort of mythical language and yes. Synergy is yeah. Part of it.
You know, most hiring managers, when they were surveyed and several articles we looked at said that when they see these buzzwords, you know, that, you know, I'm hungry for success, I'm a go-getter, I'm, you know, it's just, it looks pretentious, you know.
It's a turn-off. It also looks like it was written by AI.
Yeah, ChatGPT.
Like, yeah. This is a full ChatGPT resume. I just think that, yeah, it seems like a not a person wrote it. And I think that unfortunately, well, not really unfortunately, just succinct, clear language is always more impressive than really gaudy language that makes
right.
No sense.
Right.
And I think anytime you're putting in an inspirational quote or some motto, we're in trouble. Just a big no.
Please, no. God. I really don't want to know.
So another one we see, and this is, I think, one of the worst ones, is that's the overshare. You know, the person, and this is Riley O'Sullivan that we were looking at, his... okay. Resume, it says about me. Well, the minute you have an about me section,
and the first thing is vegan.
Vegan, thrill seeking, single dad of two beautiful children, ooh. Ages 10 and 13. What do you think of that?
That's a great Tinder profile starting.
Yeah, this man is looking to connect in a non business way,
right?
Okay,
Jack, he's quote, looking to expand my horizons through full-time employment with a flexible schedule that accommodates my morning mindfulness and goal-setting routine. Although very important, it's a lot of information.
A lot of information, and actually you're already immediately in your about me asking for accommodations.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But I am a born hustler and a big believer in the transformative power of meditation. Hashtag stay humble, hashtag proud dad.
Don't put a hashtag on the resume. Never print out anything that you've typed hashtags into.
Well, being a proud dad is great, obviously. It's not a detail that belongs on a resume. And those kind of glaring personal things that look like they're doing some personal profile is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. And it's a turnoff for managers.
Yeah, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And also, I love that single, he says, I'm a single in the about me, and then at the bottom it says marital status, single.
In the contact information.
Does not help us get a hold of you.
I think the most concerning thing is his email contact is a Hotmail address.
I have two friends with Hotmail addresses, and they're my most unwell friends.
So back to Riley, you know, he has a whole skills and hobby section. He has all the about me. The reality is for a candidate, that's a turnoff. It's irrelevant personal information. But for an employer, it actually puts this burden on you because you're not supposed to be taking in personal information right. that right. could disclose they're in a protected class.
We know his age.
His age, that he's single, that his, we know his marital status, he knows he has children. So you're going to have to so actually much. Black all that out if you're going to keep that resume to consider him as a candidate to avoid a discrimination charge later if he says you didn't hire me.
Right. Because so sharing all that personal information actually makes it way harder for you to get hired.
Yes.
Than it helps. So just really don't.
We're in an overshare. I don't know if it's because of social media or what, but just stop. And managers, you have an absolute right and, in my opinion, an obligation to black out all that garbage.
You yeah. Know?
Right. You're going to black it out and realize that there's not much on that paper that's job related. And right. that's all you're going to consider.
Except for the fact that he is a mystic. Perhaps that could help you.
Hashtag stay humble.
Okay, let's leave this man alone. Okay, so what are some takeaways for employers when you're wading through all of these resumes?
Well, I'd say the first is you don't have to accept and don't accept unsolicited resumes when you don't have a job posting. You can just throw them out. Don't okay. take them or hold on to them. That's the best way to avoid this nightmare of resumes. So that's probably the first tip.
And if you do have a job that's posted, you decide. If you only will accept applications, then that's okay. But if you do have a job posted and you accept resumes, you're going to have to consider those, and you're going to have to retain them for 1 year, like you have to retain your job applications if that person's not hired. And so those are a legal document you have to keep. So think about whether you want to accept resumes and applications.
Right. We typically recommend applications for most positions, unless it's a higher level where you want a resume, cover letter, something a little bit more detailed to it. But the application is going to cover most of the information that they put on their resume. But that's the third issue with the resume, is that it allows the candidate to control all the information.
As you saw.
Right. As you see, you get that he's a single dad. You get that they played League of Legends. You get all this crazy stuff, and none of it is really relevant to the job. And so that's why applications are much better. It's much more controlled.
Just keep in mind that you cannot use anything on the resume that discloses they're in a protected class. So you're going to have to black that out, and that's a pain. And then last but not least, enjoy the ride. Keep a golden file of the resume disasters. Most of my clients have them.
If you're going to accept it and you're going to have to hang on for them for a year, you might as well make a little golden file.
Have a little fun.
And if you're a candidate, don't make it to that golden file. So.
Please don't.
I know. I'm like, my little headshot is in so many golden files.
Look at this, Jack Ball. But then they're going to see, they've read the Chicago Tribune, they're digging it out, and they're like, oh my gosh, Jack Ball.
The name to watch.
He made it. Not in the restaurant industry, because we didn't hire him.
That's right. So we do have a little survey for an upcoming spooky holiday that's happening. Halloween, you ever heard of that?
Yeah, so. Okay, before we give the Sherm Code today, we do have a survey, a Halloween survey for our Halloween episode this year. We want to know your worst costumes you've seen in the office, worst cubicle decor, worst party games. We'll also put in some, you know, best. We want to know the best.
Yeah, you can
well,
add your best.
But share with us those thoughts, any crazy Halloween office-related stories. You can click on the survey. Links in the bio. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
It's the most wonderful time of year, so please tell us what's going on in your office.
Jack's the pumpkin king. You have to wrap up Little Shop of Horrors in time to celebrate Halloween.
That's right. It's a spooky show and a spooky time.
And for those of you who want the Sherm Code, today it is 24TJHC6. 24TJHC6. And thanks for joining us. And everyone, dust up those resumes. And
yeah, give them a comb through it.
Okay, you guys, hope you have a man-free week. And Jack, get back out there. Can't wait to see you when we come back out.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to go take another 24-hour nap.
Godspeed.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Managing Mayhem is presented by Management Northwest and Management Southwest and cannot be copied or rebroadcast without prior written consent. By listening to this podcast, you understand that we, or at least two of us, are lawyers, but we are not your lawyers. Therefore, nothing we say on the podcast should be taken as legal advice or considered to create an attorney-client relationship. It is solely meant for your educational and informational purposes. The podcast should not be used as a substitute for legal advice from an attorney licensed in your state. Please be aware that listening to lawyers can cause side effects such as migraines, self-doubt, and also may cure insomnia. But you know what? Trust your own judgment, or you're not your mom.